Dr. Susan Krupp-Grunen is the Consulting Director for Strategic Human Capital Management at RGS, a consulting firm. She co-authored the report, and she's here now with how agencies can use this new data to strengthen their organization. Dr. Grunen, thanks for joining us. Hi.
Well, thank you.
Glad you're here. So in the report, we should start here. You start off with the premise that it's really important to actually define diversity properly and that we can't just focus on race and gender. First of all, why is that so important? And then, in your view, what's the right way to look at diversity and the right way to look at inclusion?
Well, one of the things we found is that in this study, looking at the private sector and government, that not just using protected classes was no longer the reason for diversity to be the, if you will, the right thing to do here. What we found is that inclusion was the means that, and the strategy that was the secret sauce. And the Human Capital SIG, in doing this report, we were surprised to learn that the secret sauce is really what allows an organization to become more competitive.
And you say that secret sauce really is, in a lot of cases, pretty similar between industry and government. What are those common factors across those two sectors?
Well, what we found is that all the organizations that focused on a broad definition of diversity and not just limiting it to the legally protected classes and making sure their inclusion practices cut across all the organizational groups and incorporating those into the policies and practices and training of the organization made a difference. That was the first one. The second one we found is that when diversity and inclusion strategies were strategically aligned with their business goals, that meant that they were building this into the fabric of their culture and they weren't a separate program. It wasn't something that HR did on the side. And like NASA's done, they took it from the ground up and from the top down and made it cut across the entire organization. The third thing we found is that metrics and accountability in this program and using the diversity and inclusion strategies were the key to having the right outcomes, as the Navy and Coast Guard programs showed. So there really were, across the private sector and across these government organizations, some key factors that were similar.
You mentioned metrics and accountability. Can you go into a little bit more detail on how you actually develop those metrics? How do you measure an effective diversity and inclusion strategy?
Well, in order to go about that, I think the VA has a wonderful example in there. They have what they call a diversity index in their program, and it's a list of key metrics, including measures of how their leadership is incorporating the inclusion strategies into the training, into the leadership process. And as part of their performance management plan, they actually have a metric that measures whether or not their leadership is successful.
And talk a little bit more about the economic imperatives to having a diverse and inclusive workforce. So how does that lead to better outcomes both in public sector and in private sector organizations?
Okay, first of all, what we found is in the economic imperatives, the Conference Board did some research and it found that racial and gender diversity were positively associated with higher productivity, product quality, and economic benefits in almost all the organizations they looked across in the private sector. We also found in the government, in the GAO report, that there was a higher level of productivity when you looked at diversity and inclusion strategies incorporated into their strategic plan. And when you looked at the U.S. Banker report, the most highly diverse economic management teams generated the far greater revenues and profits for those organizations. And those who had the lowest percentage of women on their executive teams, which is another factor that we showed. And then the National Urban League study showed that diverse companies generated an 18% higher productivity than the U.S. economy overall. So overall, those studies showed how economically you were basically advantaged if you included inclusion and diversity strategies in your organization.
This report that you prepared, I guess at OPM's request, right?
Yes, OPM came to the Human Capital SIG, which is the shared interest group of ACT IACT and asked us to work with them on gathering strategies from best practices from both private sector and government in this whole area of not just diversity, but they were really wanted to know what else was going on in this area of inclusion strategies.
So is this something that you hope can be used by OPM to develop government-wide policies, or is this something that, you know, chief human capital officers at individual agencies will be able to just take a look at and say, here's some things I can import into my own agency?
I think both. I think what we're hoping is that not only will the diversity and inclusion officer over at OPM be able to use this across the board in recommendations for how government can better engage their employees, and obviously in an era where we have cutbacks in budgets, if you can make your employees feel more included and engaged in their workforce higher productivity, it obviously will help all of us. So we're hoping that it will be done not only with OPM, but across, and then we also hope that organizations that haven't started, as some of the organizations are looking at in the government agencies, starting up a diversity and inclusion office to look at what does this mean besides just doing your legally imperative requirements of EEO. This is beyond EEO. This is looking at how do you make everybody feel included in the workforce.